It is so good to be in the house of the Lord today. And I greet all of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Pastor Roach, for the kind introduction. I greet you and your lovely wife and to our senior pastor, Pastor Auden and Sister Auden and your family. I greet all of you, other ministers, Pastor Kyle, church leaders, friends, visitors, and all the people of God. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so good to be here, and I want to thank you for the kind invitation to come and speak to all of us on what I believe God wants to say to us today. I'm humbled that you've asked me to come to speak with you today. The last time I came here capacity as a jokester. I come today in the capacity as Jesus' representative. And so I pray that you would give me your air for a few moments as the Lord speak to us. I apologize for the absence of my wife, who would have very much liked to be with us today, but she's of Ireland and not able to be here. She sends her love and her prayers. But the others who are here with me, of course, my trusted aide, Deacon Lang, my brother-in-law, Deacon Simonette, and I see one or two of my children here. They don't like to be singled out, but nevertheless, you know how children go. And I want to congratulate you for 40 years. Is a long time. I'm so happy that the power came back on so we were able to hear the sentiments of Pastor Auden. It really brought a sense of perspective to why we are here and how we got here. And as I listened to Pastor Auden, I realized that he's probably said most of what I wanted to say, but I still need to say it so that you would know that I had it to say. You know, it was Martin Luther who said, a seven-year-old knows what the church is, but he still had to write 7,000 words to make sure she understood what it was. And so I pray that I wouldn't be my normal Baptist man today, but would be open to the Spirit of God. And I ask that you be open, because my assignment is simple. I'm here to encourage, to motivate, but yet to challenge us as we look forward to another 40 years. And I want to speak on just a simple topic today that is something you've probably heard many times before. I want to talk about preserving the rich legacy of this ministry. And I feel deep within my spirit that God has a relevant, ready, rhema word that should revolutionize our spirits today. And I want us to be open to the Lord. Today I would springboard from two passages of scripture, just three verses. One comes from Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, which is very familiar to us. Jesus, speaking to his disciples one day, asked them who the man said he was, and they ran through a song and dance. At the end of the day, Peter answered, and Jesus comes back in verse 16 and says, "And I tell you that you are Peter, Petros. And upon this rock, this truth, I will build my church." Bible, you should underline "my church." Sometimes the people of God get mixed up with ownership. "My church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The gates of hell shall not have success against it. It will push back, but no success. But the thrust of my message will come from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. The great apostle speaks to a church at Corinth that had undergone much problems, and at the end of the text, He says to them, be on your guard for him in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And then he says something, do everything in love. And I couldn't help from noticing on the board it says, love God, love people, serve the world. That's not from Pastor Alton's imagination. That's a mandate from God. And I want to continue by saying something that ought to pique our interest. The length of time a ministry has been in existence is not a guarantee that it will continue to exist in the future. I think I ought to say that again. The length of time a ministry has been in existence is not a guarantee that it will continue to exist and be productive and be fruitful in the future. You and I know of many husbands, wives who had been married for 10, 20, 30 years, raised good families, built wealth, but longevity did help them. They are separated today. Longevity alone will not cut it. Many businesses that were once around for years and longevity seemed to have been on their side, but they are no longer around, and for some strange reason my mind ran on Eastern Airlines. When my wife and I got married, we took our honeymoon and we flew Eastern Airlines. Now the millennial generation doesn't know what Eastern Airlines is. But in order for an organization to survive and thrive, there has to be some other ingredients that go into the process. It has to be a part of the equation. Longevity alone and past successes will not cut it. My brothers and sisters, some of you are probably saying, well, Pastor Burroughs, are you saying the best years Freeport Bible Church are behind us? No, I concur with your senior pastor that the best years are yet ahead, but it's not automatic. And if I convey that idea, I do apologize and forgive me. Here at Freeport Bible Church, you have a rich, enviable, and stable legacy. One that is worthy of not emulation, one that is worth keeping. And all I'm saying to us today, as a church, as a body of Christ, you must do all you can to preserve it. You are making a positive difference in this community and in people's lives. You are. And I'm here today to challenge you to keep this legacy alive. 40 years is a very significant time. It's a very significant milestone. And I believe that you are at the crossroads. You are entering a new phase of ministry. 40 years is a significant biblical number. Moses in the wilderness, in Midian. Jesus out in the desert being tempted of Satan. Some of us have our own story of 40 years. When God called me to ministry back in 1995, I was in the 30s. And I remember being in Barbados at a pastor's conference and got my call to ministry. And it was 1995, and in 1999, I was 39. Do not take out any calculators today. And at age 39, I told my wife, if I don't get to seminary by I'm 40, I'm not going anymore. 40 years is a milestone. It's a marker. And you have done well in 40 years. Look at the beautiful sanctuary. I heard Sister Barbara talk about the elementary school and the land for expansion and all that has been done here. And we have so much to thank God for. And you can stand up and sit back and say, look where God has brought us from. You have a good legacy, but if you're not careful, we can measure our success by what we see with the physical eyes, the physical stuff, the buildings and the property. And we may stop right there, but I want to tell you, when it comes to the work of God, we can never fully measure or quantify the impact and the effectiveness of only what the eyes can see. We have to look beyond the physical eyes. How can anyone measure or quantify the many marriages that are probably still intact because of the ministry of this church? How can anyone measure the impact or quantify the many families that are probably still together because of the small group ministry of this church? How can we quantify that? How can you quantify or measure the many young people, children, young people who are now contributing adults, productive citizens, because they've danced on this stage or the other stage, or they've been involved with Pastor Kyle in the youth ministry and Pastor Roach? How could we quantify that? It's just not possible. When we look at a ministry at like Freeport Bible or any other thriving ministry, we have to look to an all-seeing, all-knowing God who alone is able to see and measure justly and correctly. But how can you quantify or measure the many souls like Brother Pratt, who is standing before the throne of God because they've been saved and discipled in this ministry? And how can we measure, quantify the impact of those who have gone before us? Pastor Lam and the Godette, how could we quantify, measure the impact of 30 years of ministry by Pastor Auden? The many sermons he preached, the many ways he's invested in our lives. How can we quantify that? How can we measure correctly the impact of Pastor Wilbur's ministry to this congregation over the past 30 years? Forget about what we see physically. How can we measure it? You know, as a new pastor coming from seminary, Wilbur, Pastor Auden, was one of the few pastors, senior pastors, who embraced me. And who invited me into his inner circle and mentored me, became a confidant and a trusted friend. Not just in words, he made sure I checked in with him. He became an accountability partner. While I am not all that I ought to be, I can say without fear of contradiction, because of his ministry and the impact and influence of this church, I am in part who I am because of the ministry of Freeport Bible Church through your senior pastor, Pastor Auden. You ought to give him a round of applause. But how do we keep this legacy? How do we make sure that the next 40 years are good years? You are at a transition. How do we keep this legacy alive? And the Apostle Paul admonishes us in this text, and I will just leave these few things with you as I don't want to say finish up, because I got a few more minutes. But I want to read into your hearing exactly what Paul says to that Corinthian church, and I think it's applicable for us. And it's so self-explanatory that I don't need to say a whole lot about it. In chapter 16, Paul is ending a letter to a church that had gone through many problems, but was still going strong. And in verse 13, Paul said, of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he says, "Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith." And he said, "Be men and women of courage. Be strong." Verse 16 says, verse 14 says, "Do everything in love." And my brothers and sisters here at Freeport Bible Church, if I want to say to you, how do we preserve the legacy of Freeport Bible Church? First and foremost, I would say to you, you've got to safeguard yourself against the enemy's attacks. Safeguard yourselves against the attack of the enemy. The enemy is after a legacy, a ministry. It took 40 years to build this ministry to what it is today, but hear me, Freeport Bible Church, it only takes one bad judgment, one selfish, unthought of decision to destroy everything that God has done for you over the past 40 years. Just one. Apostle Paul punishes the Corinthian church, "Be on your guard." In other words, he was saying, be vigilant. Be awake. Be alert. Be prayerful. Be perceptive. Because there's a real enemy. And the Bible describes him as Satan, and he roars along. He prowls along. This guy doesn't have a day off. He doesn't work shift. He's full time, and he's seeking to destroy a pastor, a leader, a small group, a facilitator. And I dare you at Freeport Bible Church, who have worked so hard over the years to allow the enemy to use that and destroy what God has built up in 40 years. You must safeguard yourself against that. Don't ever forget, it's a real fight. It's a real fight. And it's Satan. It's your enemy. It doesn't matter how much that brother rubs you the wrong way or that sister, he or she is not the enemy. The enemy is Satan himself. And here is how he destroys a legacy. Here is what he does. He creeps into the ranks, then he gets us to fight against each other. When we do that, we lose focus. Comes among us and he gets us to stop cooperating with one another so that the work suffers. He destroys a legacy when he comes to the business meeting and creates strife and confusion among the leadership. At times, he even shows up on the praise team and in the music ministry. And in the small groups. And I tell you today, on the authority of the word of God, if we accommodate him and if we entertain him, he divides the body. But hear me today, hear the word of the Lord, we must stop him in his tracks. And so safeguard yourselves against the attacks of Satan. Say, safeguard yourself. But there's a second thing Paul says, church at Corinth, and I think by extension he's saying it to us. Not only does he say to safeguard yourself, but he says what? Stand firm in the faith. So secondly, you want to stand firm on your conviction. And I heard Pastor talk about conviction. In other words, hold firm to what you believe. Be serious about your relationship with God. This is a call for the hard work folks at Freeport Bible Church who have spent years building this ministry and this legacy to stand firm on what you believe.
My brothers and sisters, the time for compromise is not now. Now is not the time to lower your standards and give in to spiritual mediocrity. This is not the time. This is not the time for you to find what sin is and make it comfortable for everyone to fit in. No, this is the time to stand firm and reject the spirit of compromise. For in so doing, you will preserve the rich, enviable legacy that has been built over the past 40 years. Give the Lord a clap offering. Thank you. Pastor, your senior pastor may not be here every Sunday, but I believe his spirit is here. Let me rehearse into our hearing. Pastor Outing is a man of integrity, he's a man of holiness, a man of humility, a man of the word who preaches sound doctrine. A man of great wisdom and purpose. That is the legacy that has been cultivated in this house. And this is not the time to compromise, my friends. Time to do what the Apostle Paul says, to stand firm. I haven't done all to stand. Stand. And the word the apostle used is the same word that Moses, God used to Moses when they were at the brink of the Red Sea, and the army was behind them and the wilderness had surrounded them. And Moses said, as a representative of God, he said, "But stand still and see the salvation, the deliverance of the Lord." And so the call for you today is to stand. And having done all to stand, stand on your conviction. And if you are a follower of God, we must represent God well in the marketplace. Story is told of Alfred the great conqueror. One day as he was moving across Europe, checking out all that he had conquered and patting himself on the back, he met one of his soldiers lying on the ground. And to his dismay, it was a critical time, and he kicked the guy. "Say, what are you doing?" The guy looked up, and when he saw Alfred the Great, fear gripped his heart. And Alfred said, "What is your name?" He said, "Sir, my name is Alfred." "Alfred?" And he looked at the guy and he said, "I tell you something. Either you change your attitude or change your name. We are going to represent God, the name of God. And we are not lining up with what God says. Either we change our name or change our way of life. But you've been called to stand so that you can preserve the rich, enviable legacy that this church has built up over the years." Thirdly, watch what the apostle says. "I'm encouraging you to not let anything get in the way of what you've worked hard along with God over the years to build up a good legacy." That's what the apostle Paul says. He says what? Safeguard yourself against the enemy's attack. Stand firm on your conviction. But thirdly, he said, be man courage. If I were to say that another way, I would say, step up and become a person of courage. If you have not been, this is a call to become a person of courage. Take on a spirit of courageousness. People by the church, this legacy, this ministry has been built and established by men and women of God who were not afraid to take risks. And you heard Senior Pastor and Sister Barbara talk about taking on a project of this side and pushing against the odds, because you know that's what God has placed in your heart, And I want to say to us, if God has put it in your heart, it's not a risk.
I jokingly said to Pastor Rich in the office, they say, pin my mic and turn it on, and that's how we know that faith will kick in. If you turn it on, the power will come on. I say, pin me up.
But if you've heard from God, then it's not a risk. But God is looking for men and women of courage. This ministry has always been blessed with men and women of good character, and good integrity and courage who exercise great faith against all odds. God rewarded it. And I would be the first to admit that one thing that is killing the modern church and some of the mainline churches is the fear of change and the fear of ruffling some feathers. The fear that if you ruffle the wrong feather, a few of the ticks will leave. And sometimes maybe some chicks are getting in the way. Some church leaders are reluctant to do the necessary thing because of fear. But I want to say to you today at Freeport Bible Church, listen here. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. You have gotten this far by stepping outside of the boat and making the difficult decisions. And if you do all you can to preserve that, the next 40 years is looking good. Give the Lord a clap offering. Fourthly, Apostle says, safeguard yourself against the enemy's attack. Stand firm on your conviction. And recent history will show that when the church stands firm on its conviction, it always prevails. Step up. Become a person of courage. God has not given us a spirit of fear. But fourthly, watch what the apostle says in the text. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, and then he said what? Be strong. Be strong. I heard Sister Barbara talked about Pastor Wilbur and the challenges with his muscle, but I can tell you Pastor Oden is strong. See, because the Bible says, even though the outer may be decaying, the inner man is being renewed daily. When the Apostle Paul says, be strong, what he's saying, and I say to you today, you must strengthen yourselves for the journey ahead. Many of you have been here for many years. Over the years, you've had struggles. You've experienced setbacks. You've probably experience your wilderness and your Jordan and your Red Sea experiences. Some of you no doubt wanted to give up over the years because it got tough. But you are still here. You stuck it out. But after 20, 30, 40 years, you are tired and you get discouraged. But the Apostle Paul says to us, this is something we must do. We must strengthen ourselves. Because there's yet work to be done. There's yet folks to be saved and children to be rescued and marriages to be saved. So strengthen yourself for the journey ahead. There's more ahead of us. Pastor Alton and I agree the best years are still ahead of us. And so strengthen yourself. You will need the inner strength. You may be on a bed of affliction, but if your spirit is in tune and connected to God's spirit, you will be able, like Elijah, to go another 40 days journey in the strength that God has given you. Why? Because the spirit is strong. God told us through the prophet, and I want to read it into your hearing. It says, young men do get tired. They faint. They want to give up. But they But those who hope in God, those who wait on the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings of eagle. They shall run and not be tired. They shall walk and not be faint. But you have got to strengthen yourself. You've got to bolster your prayer life. Assemble yourselves before the Lord. When the church meets, be involved with your small group. But most of all, pray and meditate on the word of God. For the man on his knees is more powerful than he who stands on his feet. And so I challenge you today to strengthen yourselves as you preserve the legacy of this church. And finally, that's a good word in the church vocabulary, finally, I told this so far, and as I conclude this sermon, the Apostle Paul was so clear to us. He says, be on your guard, safeguard yourself against the attack of the enemy. He says we ought to stand firm on our conviction. We ought to step up and be persons of courage. And he says, strengthen yourselves. Something you must do. Sometimes we look for others to do what God has mandated us to do. Strengthen yourself. Pull yourself up. And lastly, in verse 14, it's so obvious. It doesn't need much explanation because it corresponds with your theme. Paul says, do everything in love. And I leave this with us today. Strive hard to love others as God loves them. Now let me be honest with you. God, that's tough. I will be the first to admit, as a pastor, some people are hard to love. And sometimes we are hard to love ourselves. It only takes the grace of God and the love of Christ. In our Bible study on Wednesday night, I said, Pastor, I know the Bible said we are to love everyone and to love our enemies. He said, but Pastor, I know about that one. And I said, Sister, it's hard. And I said, of yourself, you can't. That is why we need the Spirit of God to indwell us. And we need to be yielded daily to the Spirit of God. Because if God asks us to do something, he will give us the grace withal to do it. And so he says, strive to love the folks the way God loves them. And I am convinced that God has placed some folks in the body of Christ to make sure that the prayer ministry survives. Without some of our brothers and sisters, many prayer ministries would die. But one thing we must remember, the folks we worship with, the folks we live with, the folks we are called to minister to, they are persons uniquely made in the image of God. Persons with faults and flaws like ourselves, and persons who are in need of God's grace and mercy and love. And as the people of God, we are called to love them. And Paul says, do everything in love, meaning that even though they talk bad about you, still love them. Even though they stop speaking to you for no apparent reason, still love them. And Pastor Roach and Pastor Carl, even though they give you grief, take a licking and keep on ticking. Still love them. Even though they don't share your same political views, still love them. Political season is coming up soon. And even though they have deserted you when you really needed them. But remember, they are humans just like us. God says through the apostle, still love them.
And I can assure you, as I leave this pulpit today, and I extend my thanks to all of you for having me, I repeat into our hearing, you've built a rich, an enviable, solid, stable legacy over the past 40 years. And you are now poised for another good 40 years. But longevity in ministry will not guarantee future success. If you want to safeguard that legacy, then you must safeguard yourself against the enemy's attacks. Stand firm on your convictions. Step up and be a person of courage. Strengthen yourself for the journey ahead. And lastly, I said, strive to love others the way God loves them. And if we were to apply those principles and commit those truths to our hearts, I believe that God will honor that. And so may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. And may the Lord strengthen you. And may his peace be with you always. Stand for a moment. Shall we pray? Father, may we never take it for granted the principles that come from your word. Father, I pray today that each person represented in this sanctuary today will be a person of faith, a person of conviction, a person that will love God and love others. I pray, God, first and foremost, with thanks for 40 years of Christian witness in this community. Thank you for all that you have done in the life of this church and the pastors, more particularly Pastor Wilbur Alton. And God, you know he's not here today, not because of a lack of prayers, but because you've not seen it fit yet to bring him back to this place. But God, we hold faith with him and his family that he will return. God, I thank you for his influence in my life and this community and this church. And I pray for Sister Barbara and the children. I pray, God, that you would strengthen them on the inner man. Strengthen them on every side, God. And I pray against every spirit of doubt and every spirit of discouragement. But God, you will keep them in perfect peace whose minds are stayed on you. And so, God, I speak a blessing over this congregation, upon every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. Speak a blessing over every husband, every wife, every father, every mother, every grandmother, parents, friends, ministers, leaders, visitors. Speak a blessing upon them, and may God peace, may his peace, his protection, and his power continue to rest upon us from this day. And let all of God's people say, amen. Thank you for having me. God bless you.